Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Sell Our Records Radio. Yes, of course, that was music from Bobby Brown from his first album. A lot of people thought that Don't Be Cruel was his first album after he left New Edition. This is from the King of Stage album, the first single called Girlfriend. I think the song went all the way to number one on the R&B charts in 1986. Of course, hanging out with me from a continuation of earlier today, shout out to Wardell Fox Jr. You can catch his show every Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wardell, I call it his afternoon drive. It's still Throwback Thursday. So we had a guest on, and she's going to hang out with me tonight. Of course, I have the lovely Miss JoJo McDuffie from the Mary Jane Girls. Hey, JoJo, what's up?
Hello, Don. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hello?
I'm good. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on my show tonight.
Okay, I said I would. I said I'm giving equal time today.
That's what I'm talking about. Enjoying your day off. Enjoying your day off and taking the time out of your schedule or your day off to hang out with me. I really appreciate it. And of course, it's snowing here. How's it looking out there in LA? La La Land.
It's a little chilly. I just put some footies on.
There you go.
I put some socks on, man. It's
getting
cold.
Even in La La Land, you got to stay certain areas. You got to stay warm, except Pasadena.
Exactly.
So. It's always hot there.
it says that it's 61 degrees, but it doesn't feel like
in
it.
Pasadena?
It feels a lot colder than
that.
I'm in Culver City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says it's 61, mostly cloudy, but it's dark outside, and I just put some socks on. So I think there's something wrong with the temperature thing today. It's cold. Yeah.
Well,
so
sweetie, stay warm. Just please stay warm. I know 61 in California, you know, y'all wearing coats and those
coats.
Big old hats. yeah. Exactly.
A hat and scarf and everything. Shoot, man, it's cold. Well, see, I'm from New York, so if this was New York, this would be like a heat wave this time of year. But here it's cold. There's even a heat wave. In
yeah.
In December, it's 61 degrees. Shoot, come on. Oh, man.
And I know it's, and you know, of course, you're from Buffalo, so usually New York.
Yeah.
It's not even everyone. New York gets all the New York City gets all of the I guess the glory of when people talk about New York. They always mention New York City, but Buffalo is a whole different monster up there when it comes to the weather.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it is. We're right on Lake Erie. We get lake effect everything, and you know it depends. You know, and there's no warning for the snowstorms. There's usually no warning. Sometimes, you know, they're talking about, yeah, it's going to be so and such and such. You get up the next morning, you can't even open your door. Okay? So much snow. So, you know, it's, like you said, New York gets very cold. New York City's dry cold and ice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as snow and stuff, I don't know because, like my mom and my grandmother and my uncles, you know, granddad and everybody, they're from New York. New York City. They were New York City and then migrated to Buffalo. But I remember going to visit a lot, and I had an aunt that lived in Long Island. It was always in the summertime when we went up there. But in the winter, the reports where it would be icy and blowing and drifting snow and stuff like that, like in the outskirts of the city. And Buffalo is pretty much the same thing. You know, you get your ice and your snow and everything. It gets pretty bad. It gets pretty chilly. And, I remember a lot of days where, we had what they call snow days. If the snow got like over 2 feet, you couldn't go to school. Everything stopped. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
And, even now.
Shut everything down. 2 feet of snow?
Yeah. Yeah. They do that here.
Yeah.
They when there's an inch of snow or whatever, school's shutting down, kids are coming home early. Because usually, it happens on the school day, kind of like around 1 or 2 that afternoon. They're like, no, let's come get your kids. Come get your kids.
For an inch of snow is nothing. Shoot, we'd go out there like when they finally would kind of dig everything out. I was short. I mean, you got snow almost up to your shoulders. I'm not kidding. The lake effect. it would just dump a ton of snow. It did it like after Thanksgiving. They had that snowstorm just right after Thanksgiving this year. So they're expecting more now. They said they're expecting a blizzard now. My son is there. And they're expecting a blizzard tonight and tomorrow. So it gets pretty bad.
Be safe. Tell your family. Yeah, tell your family up there, just please be safe, stay warm, all that good stuff. Because, again, Buffalo is a different kind of monster. I've been there. So, man.
Yes, it is.
I've been there, and
days.
It was so crazy.
I was gonna go, but then because of all the flight things that's happening right now, I said it'll be just my luck that I would go through all of that and get you stuck there for 2 weeks because they can't dig out the airport. No.
2 weeks, I know, and now you pretty much have your established life out in L.A. And 2 weeks being there stranded and whatnot, I can't even imagine, as far as your daily routine being out there.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty – the routine isn't hectic because it's a routine, but it would drive me nuts if I had to be stuck somewhere and couldn't go anywhere because it's cold outside, you ain't got no boots, you didn't bring your gear, you didn't bring no snow.
Right.
So, we ain't doing that.
I recall I was in Boston. Yeah, I was in Boston in March, probably around, this was a few years back. It was in late February, early March. And they had a big one of those, what they call nor'eastern type, that nor'eastern blizzard or whatever. And so we pretty much caught the end of it, actually, where everything was. The sun was out, the skies were clear, whatever, but there were piles of ice everywhere. There were piles of ice. I mean, really, it looked like mountains of ice on the side of the road. Road was clear, everything was good, and I'm like, man, I can only imagine to be in this stuff. And what's so crazy, I talked to a lot of Bostonians when I was there, and they're like, you know what, if we can't go in the car, we ride the train. The T will take you where you need to work. Because a lot of places, like, hey, you still got to come to the job, whether you getting on the T or you swimming here or flying here. But you gotta stay on that train. Because if the train operates, you can get there. And I'm like, man, I don't need that type of mandate in my life.
Thank you. That's pressure. That's pressure. I mean, you can't even make a personal decision on that one.
I know. It's like if the train can make it, you can make it. Get on the train. And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm gonna stay in the South. And plus, I'm not trying to pay $2,000 a month for a studio apartment. Peace out. So.
and that's what they're trying to do everywhere. They're trying to do that here. They already started. $1,800 for a studio apartment. It's insane.
Don't get me started. as far as, you know, I would have been out there if it wasn't for the cost of living, I'd still be out there. But guys, yeah. We're having, as you see, we're having a conversation. Of course, I have the lovely Mrs. Joseph McDuffie on the phone lines, and we're just gossiping, hanging out. We got music on the way. We got some Starpoint on the way. We got some Whispers on the way, and I might hook up some Manhattans on the way. So make sure tune in to hang out. But I want to start off the show. Of course, I had it as a music bed, but I want to. We talked about All Night Long by the Mary Jane Girls for the honor of Miss JoJo being here hanging out with me. I'm going to go ahead and start off the show with All Night Long, take you back to 1983. You guys keep it locked right here. You're listening to Solar Records Radio on Throwback Thursday night. I'm Fleming Wardell Potts.
Oh, I can't get over you.
You're listening to Sell Out Records Radio. Of course, it is Throwback Thursday night. I'm your host, Don Fleming. Music from Babyface from the sort of Cooling You album from 1993. Of course, that was Never Keeping Secrets. Before that, from 1989, classic Frankie Beverly and Maze, of course, Can't Get Over You. I love that song, one of my favorites. You can't really say there's a favorite Frankie Beverly and Maze. It's kind of like, what's your favorite finger? It doesn't make sense, but it's one of my favorites. I'll just say that. And, of course, started off the block, the Mary Jane Girls, 1983, All Night Long. And what do we have here? We have the lovely Miss JoJo McDuffie hanging out with me. Thank you so much, JoJo. And before we get any further, I want to introduce my cousin. My cousin called all the way from Las Vegas, and he's a lover of Rick James and all things Rick James universe. So I have my cousin Dimitri hanging out with me. What's up, D? Say hello to Miss JoJo McDuffie.
Not a lot, man. You be quiet.
Hello.
How you doing, Miss McDuffie?
I am fine.
I had to put on the suit. I had to put on the suit so I could call in because I was so excited to get to talk to you. So thank you for being here.
Well, I know y'all in Vegas, y'all do it real big all the time, right?
not this big, though.
Y'all do it big.
I wish you. You can hear the smile probably on my face right now. So.
Yes,
thank you so much for allowing me to have this conversation with you.
Oh, thank you.
And we got Wardell. Wardell, man, what's up, man?
What's
How you feel?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? How are you? Again.
Yeah.
But part two.
Well, man.
Part two.
Yeah, I know. This is the sequel. But I appreciate you calling in and hanging out. Of course, Dimitri's calling in and hanging out. Of course, we have the lovely Miss JoJo McDuffie from the Mary Jane Girls. My buddy JoJo. Hey, y'all, listen, I got a number. That's right. You can't have it. No, it's all good, though. We were talking about, of course, we played All Night Long, started off the show with All Night Long. And for all the listeners who are just tuning in, you had said something very profound about the, you know, just to talk a little bit about the making of that song. And then we kind of went into the whole gamer or video game thing because we talk about the kids and bridging that generational gap, how a lot of kids heard your music through Grand Theft Auto and things like that. But the crazy part of it is that, of course, unfortunately, you didn't get paid from that. And I just wanted you to talk a little bit, just briefly, about the making of All Night Long and one of the most sexiest songs, I mean, really, of the time. But talk a little bit about that, please.
Oh, well, it was something that actually was one of six demos that was sent to the record company when we started the first Mary Jane Girl album. It was just like a skeleton, or just, it wasn't even a demo at that point, but we were working on it. And in working on the song, Rick said, don't lock into the lyrics. Don't lock into the lyrics of that because I'm going to change them. Because I'm not happy. He said he wasn't happy with the lyrics. So we finally get to the point where, okay, we got lyrics we're going to keep. And we had to do the accent part. You know, the backgrounds were already done. And we were doing all those accents, like all night long, that part.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dead, just like what I just did, right? And he said,
mm-hmm.
I don't like it. Every time I sang it, he didn't like it. And he said, look, anyway, this is a family show, so I'm going to try to keep it, you know, but you understand what I'm saying. He said, look. At the point I had two kids, he said, look, you had two children. He said, you're not going to tell me that you know nobody never made love to you all night long. I'm like, he said, can you sing that? Can you give it a little bit more? I said, oh, okay. I said, if that's what you meant, that's what you said. So it got into the all of that. You know, so we're doing accents and stuff, and it just made it a little bit different. It made it a little, it was a little edgy for, at the time, it was very edgy for what was out there. And that's all I can tell you. It came to where the video, we didn't have a, he asked, you know, he said, well, what do you think song should be a video? And that was the first one I told him. I said, I think All Night Long should be a video. But he didn't do it that way. He did Candyman. And I think, yeah, boy, the video that you see of All Night Long was part of it, was actually a performance on a show called Top of the Pop in London. That was our Top of the Pop show. And this is the other part. That dress that I had on cost $5, okay? I had gone to the, I was trying to find something because we had to, that was part of it. Oh, it gets worse. I was in London, and we were doing the promotion at the promotion I was telling you about earlier. We were doing that the promotion in London at the time, and they lost my luggage for 3 days. I didn't have anything to wear, and I wore that dress on the plane because it was, you know, I think it was like a 12, 14-hour flight, 20 hours or something ridiculous. And that was the first time, the second time I had a long flight like this. And I said, well, I'm going to get something comfortable because I don't want to wear anything really nice on the plane. You know, I mean, we're going to be, like, all over the place. So I went to, he had a $5 store here. And I said, okay, I'm going to grab this little dress and I'm going to put some, you know, put some stockings on and some boots. And so they lost my luggage at Heathrow. And they couldn't find it. I had to, and during our time there, I had to wash that dress every night. Dry it with the hair dryer along with all of my other stuff, you know. So it's like we dry stockings and panties with the hair dryer. I'm sitting up there crying, you know. I'm crying and stuff because, you know, everybody else is bragging on me. They had their costumes, everybody else's buckets. But that happens when you fly internationally and it's a group. They're going to lose somebody's luggage or they go through somebody. That's what I think. So anyway, I'm doing that for 3 days. And then we had to do that show, and I still didn't have my luggage. Right now, that video, which I thoroughly hate, that video has had millions of views. Millions, that's it. Millions of views. It's like, it was like everything went wrong during that time. But the thing that came out of it, how I think everything was better, what made it all better, was that song was a major hit that several people sampled. If they didn't sample the vocals, they sampled the bass line. If they didn't sample the bass line, they sampled the beat. I mean, they took it apart. The rappers and all of the rappers and some other, you know, teen groups and everything. It was a hit in London before it was a hit here in the United States.
And that's so crazy to me. You expounded on that. Wardell, I want you to jump in, too. And if, Dimitri, if you have a question, please. But I wanted to say, you had mentioned the fact that London, you know, the U.K., it's just something about the U.K. embracing a lot of that soul music. And before we even, like, you know, America got it, cool. U.K.'s like, we've heard this months earlier. And that's why it seems like a lot of artists go over there first to kind of, like, you know, break it in, like, you know, even with Shalamar, you know, even today Shalamar goes out there and kills it out there in the UK and Japan and places like that. But I wanted to ask you, because of All Night Long, because, you know, we're Dimitri and myself, and I think I'm a year older than Dimitri, but we're hip-hop kids. We're kids from the hip-hop generation. And you hear about the samples and things like that. I remember the song being on Big Daddy Kane's Smooth Operator. When you first heard that, what was going on in your head about it?
I didn't quite. I understood, but that was the beginning of sampling. In fact, LL Cool J did it before Big Daddy Kane. LL Cool J.
Round the Way Girl, yes.
Yeah. first one. Well, I didn't know what to think about it, but I just knew that sampling at the time, they were calling it stealing. You know, you're sampling and you can only do 8 bars or something, you know, and then they got to where it got legal where you could only do 8 bars of a song before you get sued, right? Well, yeah, it was terrible. I couldn't do anything about it. I was only the vocalist on that. And it was kind of, like I said, the same thing that happened with the Grand Theft Auto. Because I wasn't the songwriter or the holder, I didn't hold the title. I didn't have ownership of anything, nor at the time
did I own
any of the tracks or the music or anything. Publishing, no publishing, nothing. So
yeah.
I was not the publisher, so you don't get no money. And that was the publisher decide to share it with you.
Well, that's changed now. You know, just basically you can now start to reap your benefits through sound exchange. If you participated in the song, whether you're a writer or not, you still get paid. So
right.
Just
make
sure
about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But back in the day, yeah, if you weren't a publisher, a writer, you had no say. Nobody really cared about what you said or what you did. And thank God that they corrected that because, you know, especially her being a vocalist and they're using her voice, that's personal. You know, whether she wrote it or not, that's her sound. And someone's using her sound to
bring it to life.
Song. Yeah, and so that's a problem, and I'm glad that I believe the laws have worked to get that taken care of, but you know I played on a lot of those records too that I didn't get paid for, but now I am starting to get paid for it because of the laws changing and stuff, and so that's a blessing, and just make sure JoJo that you investigate, you make sure because even what's the, I was with the Musicians Union. What are the singers with? SAG? Are you a SAG?
Yeah, with SAG-AFTRA. And if you write anything, if you're a writer now, which I do write, I'm with BMI. Broadcast Music Information.
So SAG
there
and
you
AFTRA,
go.
They
go ahead,
protect
I'm
you
fine.
As well. They protect you as well. So you should be. As long as they know, you have to inform them, and as long as they know, you should, you'll be protected. Also, it's a retirement, and SAG they have a retirement for you, so you need to look into that too. There's so much going on, because all the laws have changed now, and so we got to all go back and start, reinvestigating what's going on. Do I get paid now? Oh, that's great. Thank you. And then move forward. But also overseas in the UK. There's a company overseas in the UK that I'm going to give you the information to that will pay you also for your performance rights.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So they are playing your stuff over there, your song. And I know they are. should be getting paid for it. And I just started getting paid. For all the Shalimar stuff that he was talking about in the Whispers and Dynasty, all that stuff. I just started getting paid for that stuff a couple of years ago. So, and what's happening is, which is really a blessing, is that it's more and more old school stations opening. And they're playing old school. And so it's
satellite radio.
So what we didn't get before, now it's coming to us. So we just need to, make sure that we, put our name on the paper and let them know that, I'm here. Send that money to me. So.
Well, I'm aware of the sound exchange.
Okay.
Well, it's good to know these things. All the listeners out there, I'm glad. Please think about what this is history right now. JoJo, Wardell, all of these experiences and you know, what you guys know now, because you never know, there's that aspiring singer that's coming up. Yeah, they can go to the outlet of YouTube and things like that, but understand, like you said, the little M big B of the music business, you got to understand that big B. And it's big for a reason. So just amazing that we can attain in that knowledge. And guys, thank you so much for sharing. Demetri, I want you to jump in for, because do you have any questions?
I was going to ask about Vegas.
That's your pet.
Yeah, he's in Vegas.
Oh, how you doing, young man?
I'm good. How are you? Nice speaking to you again, too.
Good. Yeah, good. Nice to hear your voice. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, well, you did kind of take, you already covered, because I was going to ask about All Night Long, just because I know all of the samples that have been done to it. Like you said, Kane, LL Cool J, Mary J, Jay-Z, even Groove Theory. So, yeah,
and Redman.
Redman. Jeru the Damager.
Wow.
I did have a question. I don't know if it was covered, like, in your first segment or whatever, but what did that feel like, knowing that you were the star, and at the last minute, two other people were put together with you just to fill out this group that a corporation wanted?
Well, it wasn't. It was kind of a corporation thing, and it was also kind of a personal thing with Rick. He was determined to create a group. When I started singing background for him, he did tell me, "Look, I'm going to start a female group in a little while, but we're going to work on the albums and the tour right now." And he did show me sketches of what he wanted, which I'm pretty sure that he did discuss with the record company. So when we did finished up the first part of the music, there was nobody there, except for me and the Water Sisters, who did the background vocals on both of those albums. They did the first of the demos, first five demos, which were Candyman, Boys, Prove It, Musical Love, and we were working on the Inside and All Night Long. But those were the two that weren't finished. And and somewhere right after he presented those demos to Motown, he came back to me and said, "Look," because that was supposed to be my solo album. That first album was supposed to be a solo album for me. And he took the demos to the record company, and I don't know if he presented it to them as this was the group, or if they thought it was the group. He told me, he came back and told me, he said, "Look, Joe," he said, "they offered me $1 million to finish up the production on this, but as a group." So a couple of weeks later, we were almost done with the album. A couple of weeks later, Sherry, and then Candy, and then like a few weeks after that, maybe a month after that, they brought in Maxie and Candy. But it was like, I knew he was going to do the group, and I was a little tiny bit disappointed because that wasn't my solo album. But I also knew that he was going to do this group, and I didn't, it didn't bother me too much. I'd been in a group before. So it turned into, we started taking pictures and everything, and, like I said, they were not the original background singers. They were added. What they attempted to do was once we put them in the studio to add them to those background vocals, and they did not mix. They didn't mix with the original ones.
You had to
one.
Do that, didn't you?
Yeah. And the Water Sisters and I and Rick and Levi, they were singing too. But it was all things that were proper. The things that were properly mixed, they were properly mixed, but they're not in a lot of the background vocals. They're definitely, in fact, I don't think they're in any of the background vocals. Because they couldn't use them. you know, they didn't have it. What was said was that the quality of backgrounds when they tried to mix them, they couldn't mix them in because they didn't have the same quality as the ones that, the water sisters had done.
And
so
see,
then we got another
to me, that's just a that's just a testament of who you are, your sound just coming through. And I tease her about, you know, of course, standing on the top by the Temptations, and they did the part that I love. And you know, it's you could with you and Lisa doing what y'all did, of course, Lisa Sarna, it just, to me, it wasn't, you know, I jammed to it, don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't JoJo. You just didn't hear that organic, you know, feeling that, okay, this is kind of a corporate fusion thing versus just having people just have this natural fusion together. And that's what we're missing a lot in music now. And again, I can talk all night about this, guys. We got about an hour and 7 minutes left of the show. We got plenty of time. And I just wanted to, let me bring in Wardell, because we just got the news. Of course, he's a Philly cat, and of course, born and raised in Philadelphia. And we just lost Tom Bell, man. Tom Bell. We just found out earlier today that Tom Bell passed away. And I just wanted to be a Philly boy. I just wanted your thoughts.
Wow. Well, you know, I saw like some kind of tribute, and I was like, you know, why are they doing that? What's going on? Like, and I thought to myself, he must have passed away. I said, no, that it would have been real. I would have really known if he passed away. It'd have been big news. And I moved on, and now you're telling me he really did pass away. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to digest this at all. I just found out for sure right now, and so it's so sad because, you know, I mean, I know we all have our turn and everything. It's just that, you know, when these legends die like this, the people that have given us so much, you know, I mean, they're part of our, you know, our music history. It's just, it's always hard to let go, right? And so, but I'm grateful for the blessing that the gifts that God gave him, he shared it with the world, and the things that he did, the people he worked with, you know, I mean, man, he has a history that's absolutely amazing. And so, man, I'm really, it's hard to put the words together, but you know, my deepest condolences to his family, and rest in peace, my brother, and thank you for, you know, blessing us with your gifts.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to go ahead and just take a quick break, actually take a quick music break. And I'm going in your stash, Wardell, because one of my favorite songs that you know, Tom Bell was behind, of course, he worked with groups like the Delphonics, man. And you know,
oh,
I love the Delphonics. So, hey, yeah, the stylist is all of that. So, and of course, we lost William Hart earlier in the year. So I'm going to go ahead and just dedicate this to them. Of course, what you hear in the background, this is from 1967, 1968, music from the Delphonics. La La means I love you. You guys keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Let me try. Now I don't wear a diamond ring. I don't even know if I'm insane. All I know is
Listening to Solar Records Radio, of course, taking back 1985 music from the family. Screams of Passion, give you a little Minneapolis soul right there. Before that, I had to hook up a little Sylvia Robinson. Of course, Sylvia Robinson, of course, is the godmother. Of course, they call her the godmother of hip-hop. Of course, she founded Sugar Hill Records and Sugar Hill Gang, and, you know, the rest is history. From 1973, that was Pillow Talk, and, of course, took it all the way back, went to Wardell Stash from 1968. Of course, music from the Delphonics. La-La means I love you. And, of course, speaking of the family, have the family hang around. Of course, we have the lovely JoJo McDuffie. I got my cousin Demetri. Of course, Wardell is hanging out, co-hosting, doing his thing. JoJo, first of all, we talked about Tom Bell before we went to the music break. Do you had any type of run-ins or any type of meeting him or anything like that?
Never. And I always wanted to. Never. Because I love the Delphine. I had every Delphine cookie, and I know his name was on most of them, if not all of them. And I think the lady he worked with was Linda Creed, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
I always saw their name, Linda Creed and Tom Bell, on most of the records that I did buy them, and I did like that came out of Philly. So I unfortunately never had the opportunity to meet either one of them. You know, but they wrote and created some of the timeless music that we have today, and
mm-hmm.
I can play that stuff today, and it's like a time machine for me. It just takes me right back to where
it really
I was when I first heard it. You know, it's amazing, and it's like I said, it's a shame to lose them, but we got the best of them while they were here. They left their spirit here. They left an imprint here that's going to last forever. And my condolences to his family. Oh my
well
goodness.
Said. Well said. What else?
Well, I did you a favor, and I uploaded that song you wanted. It's in your stash, and it's
my man.
It's in your.
My man.
I put it in your stash, so you just got to refresh, and there you go. And it's not the live version.
It's not that the live version. I love live versions, but he gets like the 18-minute version of a. No, I'm not.
Don't you start,
D. Don't you start. No, I was saying it's like the 18-minute version of it. I'm like, okay, Wardell, we get it. But it's all, I appreciate it, man.
12-inch.
That's the version I play when I want to get something to eat.
And you always mess with me. I was like, well, do a block. And here's the thing. I tell Wardell, I say, Wardell, you got this block for me? Oh, that means he's going to go downstairs and get something to eat. So, I need a block for you.
Yeah, I know he's going. He's going to get something to eat. So, and it's
two blocks,
good.
One song.
Yeah.
As you can see, we're having fun, and everything is it's unscripted, as you can see. Of course, you guys listen to Solar Records Radio. Throwback Thursday night, Don Fleming, Wardell Potts Jr. Of course, I have my cousin Demetri hanging out, and I have the lovely tonight's special guest. Of course, this is JoJo McDuffie from the Mary Jane Girls. And of course, I would not be remiss. Because we had talked about it earlier, and again, to all those who are just tuning in and listening, we had talked about MTV. We had talked about how in the early, and again, this isn't a gripe session or anything like that, because it's one of those things is like, look, we're here now because of our love, you know, how music videos revolutionized. It just took a certain push from people to get them to push in the right direction. One of the earliest people that talked about,
we always,
you know,
got to fight for
her. Yeah, because a lot at the time, you know, music videos were really promos for record for radio stations. It wasn't something to say, oh, let's put it on TV for everybody to watch. You know, every now and then there was, you know, those concert videos and things like that. Sometimes we were fortunate enough to see, but the music video. It was, you know, and nothing against the Police, nothing against the Clash or the Boggles or the Sex Pistols or anything. I grew up on that music, and the Ramones and all of that. That was good music, don't get me wrong. But it was like, to me as a kid, it's like you wanted to see some, like, some level of representation. And I got to give it up to Rick James, because Rick James, to me, was one of those first people that said, look, MTV, y'all can't, you know, you're saying, oh, we play rock music. So while it should have been rock TV, this is music television. And you know,
exactly.
Rick, you know, a lot of people felt like, I don't know. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to turn it to you, JoJo. Did you think because of, you know, the Street Songs album or thing like, you know, as sexy as it was, as provocative as it was, and people kind of gave him the side eye, but did you feel like people took him seriously when he did say what he said? You know, did you think that it could have been, it could have been, well, just because, you know, oh, that's just Rick being Rick, or, hey,
no,
he has something to say. Oh, go ahead, please. The floor is yours.
No, he when he did it, they had to look at him differently because, like you said, they might have been giving him the side eye before that. But he did that in a very vocal and a very intelligent way, and what he said was very true.
Very.
This is music television. Music television, and we've had, you know, black people play music too. We got music too. Okay? And when it came on, when it first came on, I do remember when they finally did play, put, you know, R&B music on, it would be after 12 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
On MTV.
Yeah.
The other thing that really, really made me mad, you know, which I don't get, it takes a lot. When they finally did acknowledge the Mary Jane Girls, they called us a one-hit wonder. I'm like, sir, where were you when All Night Long came out? They played In My House and put us in this thing that they would put on every New Year's Day called the One Hit Wonders for a few years. They did.
Wow.
And it used to make me crazy. It made me crazy when they started doing that. And they still, I don't ever recall them playing In My House during the day. In fact, I don't even remember ever seeing it on MTV because I refused to watch him after that. But Rick did have, I do believe that he was influential in getting our music played, along with, like you said, the guy at Epic, when he threatened to pull all of the Epic products off of him.
Mm-hmm.
if they didn't play R&B music or their music, or they didn't play Michael Jackson in particular.
Exactly.
They didn't
want to
play Michael Jackson at all. And that, I think he had Thriller or something out at that point, and they wouldn't play him.
Exactly. For the listeners out there,
one of the biggest records in history,
story goes,
and they didn't want to play it.
The story goes that Walter Yetnikoff, who was the president of CBS Records and Epic, he threatened to pull their whole music catalog. Not just, they call it the Black Division. Not just the Black Division. He threatened to pull all of the music. And they were like, okay, well, we're going to take them seriously. And here's, if you guys remember, and it's going viral again. In 1983, there's a video of David Bowie calling out. I don't know if you ever saw that, him calling out why black artists weren't being played. And I think Mark Goodman was the one of the VJs, and he kind of was just babbling. But people really, I guess people really started to take it seriously, and I think didn't think that was fair because Rick was doing that 2 years earlier, you know. Even though David Bowie has a love for R&B classic music. I mean, the Rolling Stones got their name from Muddy Waters, you know, from Muddy Waters' song Rolling Stone. So there's been a lot of black influence. Somehow it seemed like even at that early time, they wanted to kind of just phase it out and say, oh, well, we'll find someone who white or whatever to do the music, and everything is fine. And I just think, you know, to me, it just signifies that ugly part of America that doesn't want to face up to it.
Yeah.
Hey,
I have a question for JoJo.
Joe, now this famous famous statement outburst that Rick James made on TV. I'm trying to figure out, like, who was the lady he was talking to, and what happened that made him so upset when he says, "B, my name is Rick."
Mm-hmm.
You said it wrong.
My name is
Rick. I don't mean to laugh.
He said it backwards.
I'm Rick James.
You don't know who I am.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Yeah.
How did it? Yeah. Can you say it without saying the B word? What did he say?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I heard brought that about. He was backstage, and whoever this woman was said, "Well, who?" I guess maybe he said something to her, or she was like, "Well, who is he? And so I think it ticked him off. And he didn't say nothing right then. He wanted to tell her, I guess he won some award or something. I think it was a thing with him and Tina Marie. And when he did come back to the stage, he said, "Oh, yeah, and whoever that was back there that said that she didn't know who I was, I'm Rick James." And I was like, "Oh, no."
And I believe it because, mm-hmm. you know, I just didn't want to feel like, to me, knowing you, and not knowing Rick, but just knowing you and knowing how much you adored that man, I think the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, and I'm glad Dave Chappelle, I'm glad he did what he did and the skit and everything, and I'm glad Rick was sport enough to do the skit, but I just didn't want a newer generation to kind of look at him as a caricature. You know what I'm saying? Because he had a body of work that was very serious, and it was very influential to a lot of artists that, you know, a lot of them, some of them probably won't even admit. But I know mm-hmm. Bobby Brown was influenced by the Gap. He loves Charlie Wilson and he loves Rick James, and he'll tell you that. You know, New Edition, mm-hmm. they will tell you that. So
that's
it's
good.
Just, to me, I just didn't want it to be to where he became kind of a, and again, he was a sport for doing the skit and everything, and yes, it was funny, it's still funny, but I want people to look at just the holistic view of him and what and his catalog of music and what he's done, and not, and you know, the good and the bad. I get it.
Hey,
but for those of us who know what Rick was, I mean, that was like the icing on the cake. It's like seeing one of your heroes not take themselves so seriously and embrace some of that wild stuff that went on. So that's why I loved it so much, in addition to it being funny.
Yeah.
Well,
what was
but a lot of times that's what they, when that particular thing happened, this is what was pushed into the public, because they mm-hmm. wanted him to look crazy and not to, and at that particular time in history, that was something controversial to do, very controversial to do. I mean, to say it like that, you know, to even do something like that. They could have
mm-hmm.
very easily cut that part out of the show. But rather than do that, somebody picked up that sound bite and they pushed it and it got pushed and pushed. And so now people think, oh, he was just this crazy old man who was high and stuff like that. So they don't respect that because they don't know exactly what his musical history was until they go into it. And then once they go into it, they see. But for the most part, you know, it's just something for fodder for the press is what I call it. And I think the press could have done a better job of silencing that. They didn't have to really do that, you know, in the way that it was done. And then there were other people, you know, because, you know, you got, it's not just the press either. There are people who are extremely jealous of him and the way that he was talented. He was extremely talented, okay? Just like
mm-hmm.
Prince was extremely talented. He was talented like that too. He was a great songwriter and a great musician as well. And he had a great band. He had a great organization working with him. And they just take one thing and just kind of just blot it all out, and here he is, this crazy person that was dirtying up Eddie Murphy's couch and being and speaking profanity in public. Okay, they make him look crazy, you know, and I never liked that. I never appreciated that. Yeah, like you said, the skit was funny. Dave Chappelle did an excellent job, you know, that particular thing. I'm laughing at it now because it's funny. But it that wasn't all who he was. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, he could be mad. He could get really pissed off. I saw him get past pissed off like 3 times, and that was one of them. I said, no, he's mad. He's really mad, whatever she said to him. But that's not the only thing that he was. He was not just somebody that got high and did drugs and was out there, you know, wilding out, as kids call it now. The man, when they saw him wilding out, he was partying. You know, he was relaxing. He was unwinding, decompressing from being an artist and a producer and a musician and a star. You know, this is just my take on it. He was decompressing when people saw him. He worked hard. He worked extremely hard.
Yes. This has always been a question I wanted to ask. You know, like for like these stars, like Mike, like people like Michael Jackson, you know, Prince, Rick James, you know, these guys that. And that are just like these mega stars. I wonder, who did they hang out with? Did Rick have any like particular person that he used to hang out with to get away from it? Like, did he have like a buddy that was his buddy? He was always with this person, or was he a loner?
He hung out a lot. From what I could see, he hung out with a lot of people. He would hang out with members of the band. You know, he would hang out with some of the executives that were, you know, music executives that were his friends. He was Aquarius. Everybody was his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Aquarian people have lots and lots and lots of friends. They're very friendly. They're very intelligent. All of them. Okay? I know that because my brother was one, my father was one, and my grandmother was one, and my ex-husband was one. Okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, these people, they love people, and people love them. So it wasn't any one person that he hung out with. I saw him hang out with Eddie Murphy. I saw him hang out with Smokey Robinson. I mean, I've seen him be with a lot of different people who were, you know, producers and professionals as he was.
Right.
But he also hung with his band members.
What
the
was
first,
the main
first
studio
time
that
I
y'all
was,
recorded?
The first
What was the main studio that you guys that he recorded in?
The latest video?
No, the main recording studio that he recorded out of. What was that?
I don't think that there was one particular one.
Okay.
As far as the videos, you mean like the Throwdown and those other three? I think those were some studio up on the... Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm... There was a studio on Sunset that he used to use all the time.
Okay.
But, I mean, for the videos, I don't know. I know I was in a couple of them, you know, at background. Me and Lisa, we did the background and some. And I remember they were on Sunset, but I couldn't name them if I tried.
Okay.
He had a main studio in his house, too, though, right?
Hmm?
He had a main studio or one he used frequently in his house, too, right?
Oh, yeah, in Buffalo. Oh, you mean the recording studio?
Mm-hmm.
The main recording studio that we used, it was up in Sausalito. Up in the Bay Area, And he had his own studio also after that. He built a studio in his house, which was in Orchard Park.
Okay.
Now, that's where we did the Only For You album. I think he did Glow, a couple other ones too. You know, the last year out of his last few albums at his studio at home, which was state of the art. You know, I mean, you couldn't get any better.
And you know what? And I think it's only fair. We got about 32 minutes left of the show. Again, we're having a good time. I'm gonna go ahead and get into a music break. And one of my favorite albums, of course, Street Songs, and of course, what is it? Come to Me, and Glow was one of my favorites. Did you? Oh yes, that one. I'm sorry. Did you ever? did you sing on the Glow album?
I don't think so. They told him at that point that they could. He said that the record company said that they could hear me, and he needed to take me out of the background.
Good grief!
I think I might be on a couple of. They said that, you know, that she shouldn't be singing in the background, and that just broke my heart. He was mad too, but I think after this.
Why shouldn't you be singing in the background?
They said that my voice was, you could hear it. They claimed that they could hear it because it's distinct in the background. And his argument was that was what made my background what they were. You know, I don't know. You know. But he actually, he used a couple of the guys from the Durags. That album that he was producing, processing the Durag, he used them for his backgrounds after that. Because the one guy, he had a soprano higher than mine. His voice was amazing.
Oh,
so he used him a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's
you should have put on some money.
I say,
went to the record today's house and messed his couch up.
You should have went and got some muddy boots and messed his couch up, huh?
He should have.
Forget
your
couch. I know.
I know he said, F them, I'm not going to take her off of these. There's a few songs he didn't take me off of. So there's a few of them on there that he didn't take me off of. He didn't take me off of Ebony Eyes. I could still hear me in Ebony Eyes.
I can hear it too. But speaking of Glow, of course, let me go back to Street Songs because I didn't like the way that, you know, the fact that you wasn't on that album, you know, but I do love that album nonetheless. But let's go back to Street Songs. The song I want to play is Ghetto Life. You sung background on that too, didn't you?
Yes, I think
what,
so.
What
I
was
wasn't
that?
On everything. I wasn't on everything.
I think I hear you on that.
You might, because there were so many. At that time, when he found out I could harmonize and I knew how to sing for real, like I could, like, you didn't have to, like, really tell me what to do. He put me on everything. I was on so much music until I couldn't even remember how many songs that I had done. And they did one for this commercial came out, I think, last Christmas. I think Walmart. Came out of Walmart or somebody. And somebody said, I hear you in the background. I'm like, really? Okay, that means check. So, you know, like, I can't tell you. I'm sorry, did I say that? But, I'm babbling again. I'm still amazed that all the things that I sang on and something. Sometimes ask me, did I do it? And I'm like, I think so. And that's what I'm going, I think so. Let's listen to it, so I can tell you.
That's what I'm about to do. Guys, you're listening to Solar Records Radio, of course. This is Throwback Thursday. Don Fleming, Wardell Pies Jr. Of course, we have the lovely, my cousin hanging out with Dimitri. Not the lovely Dimitri, but I was going to say the lovely Joseph Duffy. But check this out. I want to take you back. I want to take you back to, you guys hear it in the background, taking you back to the album Street Songs. This is Ghetto Life. See if you can hear JoJo in the background. You guys keep it locked right here to Solar Records Radio.
Life would be thinking back in time when loneliness was mine. My life was bad without a love to share. But now you turn my life around. You fill me up and I know I'm really.
You're listening to Solar Records Radio. That's music from the Manhattans from 1983. It's called Crazy. Pretty simple song, Crazy, from 1983. Of course, shout out to Gerald Austin, of course, the lead vocalist from the Manhattans. Of course, he is a friend of the show. Got to get him back on soon, man, hopefully in the next year. What an amazing person. Again, that was Crazy from the Manhattans. Before that, from 1985, classic Starpoint, Restless. Of course, rest in peace to the lovely Renee Diggs. Had the biggest crush on her. And, of course, at the time, I think her husband, Ernesto Phillips, he's no longer with us. He's an ancestor. And we just lost his brother, George, last year. I think his brother had sepsis. So, but, again, rest in peace to those members from the group Starpoint. And, of course, started off the block, Rick James, Street Songs, actually, from the Street Songs album, Ghetto Life. And speaking of Ghetto Life, or Street Songs, all things Rick James, it's only fair to have a someone from that universe, the MC, like when you talk about the Marvel universe, the Rick James universe. Of course, we had Mr. JoJo McDuffie hanging out. And I got Dimitri, my cousin, hanging out, is co-hosting, hanging out with me, man. And did you hear your voice in Ghetto Life?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Bless your heart.
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah. Like I said, that was around the time when I first got there, and they were putting me in everything. And some of the stuff was already done, but he would put me like, I want to put you here. I want you to sing this part. I want you to do this. I want you to. I'm like, okay. So I think I heard that. I think I heard me on there. Like, that.
See? You can tell. And you know what, Joseph, you're probably at that point right now where you got to Google yourself. Because I always tease Wardell. Because Wardell has to Google himself. He's like, I didn't Google myself. I was playing, did I play drums on Gladys Knight's album? You know, so.
It's embarrassing.
See what you got to say.
Sometimes. I was like, let me go in here and see what exactly. Because you do so, I mean, it's such a blessing to be able to do so much until you forget. But, you know, you got fans out there that can tell you everything you did, when you did it, and probably what you had on in the video and all of that stuff. And it's like, they had to understand that was like
it was a regular Wednesday. Yeah.
And it was work. It was work. That's like, Don, when you were a teacher. Do you remember the spelling test you graded? No, I don't remember that spelling test. I was working.
Thank you.
Exactly.
See, yeah. Now you understand. So, I mean, I'm glad. It's like I said, it was such a blessing to be able to do that. And even the background, I don't mind. I mean, somebody asked me, like, well, what do you like singing better? Do you like background better? Or do you like being in the lead? I'm like, I don't know. Because they're both just as important to a song.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity not only to work with Rick. Rick was the first one I sang backgrounds professionally with. I had the opportunity to go out as well with Anita Baker for a few months and also with Barry White on his last tour of Europe.
Okay.
And okay. I can't tell you the honor. I mean, these are people that I admire. And I admire Rick. I knew who Rick, I mean, I knew his music. And I liked his music before I even worked with him. So I also liked to hear, I love Rita Baker's music. And always loved Barry White. He was like, come on. And when I got a chance to meet them and to work with them, it was, like I said, I don't even know what to say. It was a pleasure and an honor. And it's like, I can say this now. If they said, look, we ain't going to pay you. I'm like, okay. I would have went out there anyway. Just for the experience.
How did that happen, though? How did that happen? How did you get to work with them?
Well, with Anita Baker, we were living in the same complex out here in Burbank. We lived in the same complex. And we became friends. Candy actually introduced me to Anita Baker. And we became friends. She's Aquarius, too, by the way.
Oh.
I make friends with them. We, me and Aquarian people, we are, I don't know what it is, but we are so cool with each other. And we were cool with each other from the beginning. And she was working on music at that same time. She was working on, I believe she was working on Sweet Love and all of that stuff.
Okay.
And me and her became friends. I got a nice little backstory on that, too. When I was getting ready to do In My House, that In My House, we were doing that. I said, we were coming down Cahuenga Canyon. I said, I want to do a harmony part on that. So I told her we were driving into L.A. We had to both, you know, go and come into L.A. from Burbank. So I said, listen, I got to do this song. And I need you to sing this song, this part, straight, so she could. And I had to do. And I wanted to see what the two of those sound like together. You're gonna hear a fire truck go by. I'm right down the street from the fire station. So she did the bottom, and
there's
I did the
ambiance of the story.
Okay, this is gonna. I know. And so I said, this is gonna work. So when I got to the studio, and there was only that one part on it, I said, Dick, I'm going to do a harmony part on this, and I don't know if you're going to like it, but if you like it, let's keep it. And he kept that top note. He kept that top note on there. And now
I'm
going to
be looking out for it.
So,
I'm going to be looking out for it now.
So Yeah. So I did both. I did both parts, but me and her experimented with that to make sure that it was going to work. Okay, and yeah. She was working on something else at the time. She was working on that Sweet Love, and the You Better Watch Yourself, You're Gonna Fall in Love One Day. She was doing the backgrounds. She was doing the backgrounds where You Better Watch Your Step, and mm-hmm. some other stuff. I mean, she was in the stages of putting together that album. So we fast forward to like 1985, because this was like 83 or 84 when I was working on 84 when I was working on the Only for You. And in 85 or 86, I had left the Mary Jane Girls at that time. I made my departure from there. And she called me. She said, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, I think she was down there where you are. I think she said that she had just done a show in the South, and she had the background singers, I think they quit or something. She said, Joe, she said, I know I ain't got no business asking you to do this. She said, because your music is still like number two, number three, number one over here. And she said, I want you to just help me out. You know, I want you to help me out. I said, sure. She called a couple other girls out of New York City, Gina and Frida. And I think we were in Texas. I think the first show I did with her was in Texas.
Mm.
And she said, I didn't have my braids in my hair. I had already taken them out. I was mad. I didn't want to see a braid or a bead or nothing else because they were suing me and I was suing them back. I was mad as, well, anyway. Anyway.
Bless your heart.
I didn't say that because we're on air. But
wow.
I took my braids out, you know, straightened my hair, went on, and when we got to Buffalo, what made it even worse, when we had to do a show in Buffalo, nobody knew who I was the whole time, and she was doing Mystery, that song Mystery by Manhattan Transfer. She covered it,
mm-hmm.
and she said, Joe, I want you to do the opening on that song. Right, no problem. She had that. I mean, the musical director had asked me to do the opening on the song, like, maybe three or four shows before that. We get Constitution Hall too, and I didn't do it at the Constitution Hall, but he did ask me because they didn't like the way that the other girl did it. And by the way, that show that we did at Constitution Hall is called A Night of Rapture. It's on YouTube now. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I did the opening for the song, Kleinhans Music Hall in Buffalo. And the opening, and somebody says, "Sing it, JoJo!" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to get sued," because I didn't want anybody to know. I didn't think anybody would know who I was. I didn't have no braids. I didn't have no beads. I think I had my glasses on or something. And I was like being anonymous.
Can't even be indiscreet. Can't be discreet about it. Everybody loves you. Everybody loves you. It's out there
morning,
again.
We're going to sue you because you're still in the contract with the blah, 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 blah. You know, forget you. You know, I mean, you know, they wasn't paying me at that point. You know, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going out here to make some money. You can do whatever you want. But I enjoyed, that was just one of the other funny slash not funny things that happened on her tour. When I went to do Barry's tour, he had a song called The Longer We Make Love. This was Stay in Power album.
Okay.
And
great album.
He did a duet with Chaka Khan, and he did the same duet with the girl that did Been Around the World and I Can't Find My Baby.
Lisa Stansfield.
I couldn't think of her name. So neither one of them could do that. So once again, the musical director said, you know the song, right? I said, yeah, I know the song. So I did the duet with, as well as the backgrounds I did for all the rest of his music. I did that duet with him for the tour. And I never, you know, and he was like one of them. Barry was very meticulous about all of his stuff. It had to be right. I always knew when it wasn't right because they would knock on my door and say, okay, here's the CD. This is what was pitchy. This is what was wrong. Call the girls. We sitting up in the middle of the night doing the backups. He was not playing. He was not playing, and I loved him for that because it's like, no, if it ain't right, it's wrong. And
legendary.
I wondered for a long time. I said, this man must have hated me. I think he didn't like me. And after he passed away, his musical director, my father, his musical director said, I think he ran into my husband at the time, and he said, you tell JoJo that Barry said that she was one of the best background vocals that he ever had, and he really enjoyed having me on his tour and doing that duet with him, you know, and being an
You
got to
do it in the Barry White voice. I'm joking.
He was so nice, though. He was nice, but he was very, very meticulous. He wanted, it's like anybody else. If it ain't right, it's wrong. And I'm like that, too, so I didn't mind. But I just enjoyed the two of them. Those two artists, I learned so much just standing back there watching Masters. And I mean, and I always wanted to sing with an orchestra my whole life, and I got to sing with an orchestra with him. He had strings.
Oh, wow.
I was standing next to the violin. You couldn't tell me nothing.
This is history.
This is
so much history, and we got about good things. Look, Wardell, we got about 2 minutes left of the show, and I'm still in awe. I'm just listening. Got my hand on my cheek, just listening to these stories, man. And of course, you know, you're welcome here anytime. To finish that great story. No. Wardell, man, any final thoughts? Again, JoJo, thank you so much for taking time out on your off day to hang out with us the whole 2 hours, Wardell. 2 hours. The whole 2 hours. She hung out with us.
I can't believe it.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sitting up here yakking.
There's nothing to be sorry about. You know, you my buddy.
And it's not the JoJo show. I'm so sorry, but it's just
do not apologize. Do not apologize. I love having you here. We got to do it again, and I mean that. People say, you know how people say, we got to do it again, and it's kind of like empty. But no, seriously, we got to do this again. And again, we got about a minute left.
I would love to.
Any final 30 seconds. You got any final thoughts, JoJo, before we go?
I want to say thank you to you guys for always inviting me and listening to this old grandma talk about her life when she was young. And I enjoy talking with you guys. I love you for this. And I want to say thank you to
your
audience. And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And I hope I didn't forget anything. Thank you, Dimitri, for coming in. And I hope I get a chance to talk to everybody again soon. And I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, nothing else left, man. Not 20 seconds left.
Thank you, JoJo.
For Dimitri.
JoJo, we
love
you.
For Wardell. Yeah, we love you. For Don Fleming. We'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m., celebrating the legacy of Solar Records. Until then, guys, have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Bye, guys. See y'all later.
Good night.
Good night.